Book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and I'd like to look in verse 3 for our text, and I'd like to speak on this subject, a falling away first. A falling away first from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Now, our text will be verse 3. We're going to start reading in verse 1. And the time frame here that Paul is writing, of course, is during his ministry. He's still alive, but he's writing about the return of the Lord. Now, you understand here that Christ has not yet come back. I mean, we're living in this year, 2009, and the Lord has not yet come back. We expect Him to come back, and that is good, all right? But the folks that lived when Paul was alive 2,000 years ago also were looking for the Lord to come back. And that was good. All right? Because His return is imminent. We do not know when that's going to be. But we need to understand that He could come back very, very soon. All right? Here in this place, Paul writes this to these people. And they're concerned that they've missed it. They're concerned that the Lord has come back and they just missed it. And it's not going to happen that way. But they're concerned about that. In verse 1, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." So there's two things there he's talking about. Verse 2, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand," or that is, that you missed it. Don't be concerned about that. Verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means." So we don't want to be deceived. "For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, the thing we want to notice about is in this falling away first, that we need to be aware that in the last days, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take His children out, there is going to be a departing from the faith. That's the part that we're going to look at this morning, is that we need to be careful that it doesn't happen to us. It's prophesied in the Bible that there is going to be a departing from the truth of the Word of God before Jesus comes back. We just need to make sure it doesn't happen to us. All right? So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray today that You might bless this message for Your sake. Lord, I pray that we might think about the things that You've given to us. Help us, Lord, to be involved in it. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us the right use of our minds in understanding what You've given to us in Your Word. Help us not to be fooled, and not even to fool ourselves into where we stand. Lord, I pray that You might encourage us and strengthen us and help us to be what You want us to be in all cases. Bless now this message. I pray, Lord, You bless our church in us endeavoring to do the things that You want us to do. Keep us now, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, let's read another passage, because and there's several we want to read about the fact that there's going to be a departure from the truth of the Word of God. We don't want to be fooled. We don't want to say to ourselves, we are right when we're actually wrong. That's a gross error. I think that we're inclined that way. Well, maybe I should just say I'm inclined that way. And I don't want to put you in the same category. Perhaps you're one of those that are not troubled by those things. But I know that I am. I want to be right. My mind is not like it ought to be. I want to be what God wants me to be, and it is, and it's a real effort on my part to be what I need to be. It doesn't come easily. I how this inclination toward sin and toward depravity, I don't know if you've got that or not. I don't know if you realize that or not. But it is in me very much. I make up my mind about a thing, and that's the way it is, and I'm just locked in. But we need to be able to change our mind according to whatever God wants us to be thinking. We need to change our mind about ourselves. We need to realize that what we are is depraved sinners. We're saved by the grace of God, but yet we need God to instruct us out of His Word about the things that we need. Now, in the Bible, in the book of 1 Timothy, notice this place in chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3. There will be this departure from the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes people lose the Bible and don't even realize they're not even standing where they ought to stand. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit of God speaketh expressly. I think that means on purpose. That in the latter times, some, I'm glad that doesn't say all, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. Well, you can see that. Can you visualize that? You know, you've got a conscience which is supposed to provoke us to righteousness, and yet it's been seared with a hot iron, like branding a cattle. It's been seared over so that right or wrong has no meaning anymore. What God says has no meaning. And then He goes on in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath given to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. And so there can be this falling away from the truth of the Word of God. This morning, and I doubt if I could find it right now, but this morning in our Sunday school class, and I didn't write it down for this message, but I found that that the nation of Israel had actually lost their Bible. Now, can you believe that? The nation of Israel had actually lost the Bible. I believe today that there's churches that have lost their Bible. I believe today that there's individuals that have lost their Bible. Now, maybe they know where it is, maybe they don't. But Israel had lost their Bible. Look in the book of 2 Kings chapter 22, if you would. You see, there's this danger of falling away from the Word of God. There's a danger of not having it. Not only physically possessing the book, but not having the Word of God in our heart. Now, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22 and verse 1, Josiah is born. And when this little baby boy is 8 years old, can you believe, he is made king of the nation of Judah. How old is he? 8 years old. How would you like to have an 8-year-old king say, cut that guy's head off? I mean, that's a lot of power. But here, this guy had it. Listen, Josiah, listen to what I'm saying. Josiah is the last good king of Judah before the Babylonian captivity. He is the last one. And Josiah did not have a Bible. You say, well, what do you mean he didn't have the Bible? I know he didn't have all the Old Testament. It wasn't even written yet. See, all of the Old Testament was not written at that point. A lot of it was. Some of it wasn't. So, well, which books? Jeremiah wasn't written. Ezekiel wasn't written. That came along later. Actually, Ezekiel and Jeremiah were living at the time Josiah ruled. Okay? Now, he did not have a Bible. But what he did in verse 2, the Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside from the right hand or to the left. I mean, here's a boy. Here's a man as he began to grow up as king of the nation of Judah, did not have a Bible, but he understood what David did, and that was what he was following. He was doing the best he could. And he gave a command. He said, "Fellas, we need to clean up the temple." And so, they began to clean up the temple. He gave them money to go in and to clean up the temple and to straighten everything up and get it ready for real worship. What are we talking about? What's the subject of the message? What is the subject? A falling away. First, there can be a falling away. And Israel, Judah, had fallen away from the Lord. Now, Josiah gave the command for all the Israel, for the priests to go in and clean up the temple. And they began to clean up. I mean, they began to dust off the shelves. They began to throw a bunch of stuff away. They began to go back into the nooks and the crannies of the temple. And they were going to get it all straightened up, and they nailed boards on. They did painting. I'm just putting it in my words, you know. They would shine things up. They would get it all cleaned up. They got rid of a bunch of idols and all kinds of garbage that was in there. And in the process, look what happens here in verse 8. In verse 8, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." He said, "Look, what is this?" He came and he said, "Hey, I have found the law of the Lord." See, what is the law of the Lord? Well, I believe it's the Pentateuch, right, myself. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I think that's what they found. What he found. He said, "Wow. Let me ask you a question. How had they been worshiping before without the book of the law?" You know what the Bible tells us how they've been worshiping? It says so right here in verse 2. It tells us what they've been doing. And this is a whole lot like what goes on today in a lot of worship and a lot of individuals' lives and in a lot of churches. They simply do what somebody else has done. I'm glad in this case he chose David, who was a good man. In verse 2 it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left." It's good to follow good men. But guaranteed, it's better to follow God. Because David is not perfect. He is not perfect. David established a worship in the temple, setting in the course of singers and the order of the priest. David, King David, was the king who established the duties of the Levitical priesthood in the temple. And by the way, he did that before it was built. Because Solomon's one that built the temple. All right, but he established all of that. David is a good man. But Josiah didn't have the law, and guess who else didn't? The priest didn't either. Because Hilkiah, who is the high priest, came in and said, "Look, I have found the book of the law." Wow! And here's the thing. Oftentimes, We do the best we know how to do with what we've got. And we're doing what somebody else has said we ought to be doing when we really ought to get into the book of the law ourselves and find out what God has to say and do what God says. Now read this. In verse 9 of 2 Kings 22, Shaphan came to he was a scribe, he came to the king, he says, okay, king. In verse 9, he said, we have fixed everything that you told us to fix. That's in verse 9. In verse 10, Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So here, this scribe stands and reads the book of the law to their king. Say, how old is he? I don't know, but he's not 8 years old at this point. He's a little bit older than that. Verse 11. It came to pass, and the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And he says, we need to go find out from God. Because in that day there were prophets. And so he said, you go and you find out what God's going to do. And of course the result is that God said, Josiah, you're going to be okay. But my judgments are going to be upon this people because you have not done what I told you to do. All right? So we need to be careful. We need to be careful of doing. We need to be careful of letting past events influence us. Because they will. If you've got bad events in your past, they will affect you in a negative way. I mean, that's the way it is. If you have good events in your past, they will affect you in a positive way. But the point is that we need to let God influence us and affect us. Not the events of the past, good or bad. We need to let what God said take care of things. Because in the last days, there's going to be this falling away from what God says. Well, wow. I don't want to fall away. How can I possibly live in this wicked, sin-cursed earth without falling away? And there's some ways that we want to show you. Look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. There's ways that God has devised to keep us where we need to be kept. But it's going to take some effort on our part. Okay? We're going to have to be fighting against our flesh. We're going to have to be submissive to the Lord. We're going to have to do things different than the world does it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. He says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. Now, say, what's this about? Well, if you'll just kind of skim verses 1 through 10, you'll see here that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, relating back to the nation of Israel, how that things happened to them. In verse 6, he said, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after these evil things, as they also lusted. Now, don't be idolaters. He says, you just think about it. Don't let us be idolaters or commit fornication, or don't let us tempt Christ. Don't be murmuring in verse 10. Because he said, if you go back and you read what happened to the Israelites when they lusted and what happened to them, you go back and read to the Israelites about when they committed fornication, what happened to them. You go back and you read in the Old Testament, you read the Bible about what happened to people when they sinned, then you'll understand some things. He says in verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples to us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Wow, that's today. Written 2,000 years ago. But that's today. See, all those things are written in the Bible. Here's what I'm saying to you. Is there a way that we can make sure that we are going to be blessed of God, that we are going to be in the center of God's will? Is there a way? And there is a way. See, what is it? Here's the thing. Where's your Bible? Where's your Bible? Do you know where it is? You got it in your hand, right? Well, I come to church today, I got it in my hand. Where is it on Monday? So, well, you know, when I come home from church on Sunday, I always put it in the rack so I pick it up on Sunday to bring it back. Should I say that again? You're just looking at me like I expected a little different reaction. I mean, when you go home Sunday night, you put your Bible up in a rack somewhere, and then you pick it up and bring it back on Wednesday night. Is that what happens? Here. Where is your Bible? Listen. If you want to be where God wants you to be, if you don't want to fall away, God has provided a way for you not to fall away. God has provided a way that I don't have to fall away. God has provided a way that our church doesn't have to fall away. But it's found in the Bible. And if you don't read it, if you don't read the Bible, you won't know the way. I think I probably should say that again. Because if you don't read your Bible, you will not know the way to escape. You will not know the way not to fall. You will not know the repercussions of sin. You will not know. I wonder, is there anybody here that would tell a thief, "Please come into my house and take my stuff"? Nobody? What do you do to keep them out? Lock the door? You got a big bad dog tied to the front door? All the windows? No, he's in the house. You got alarms? You got lights? You do all you can do, right? And you pray, "God, keep them out." But here's the thing. Sometimes we forget that the devil is a thief. We forget that we willingly allow him to come into our lives and steal God's truths from us. We allow him to do that. So what are you talking about? Let me ask you. Has God ever laid a burden upon your heart that you need to be reading His Bible? Has that ever happened to you? I mean, here you are, and maybe you're, maybe you're doing something that's not wrong. I mean, you're driving, or you're you're coming home from work, or whatever. You're driving somewhere, and you're going, and you're thinking about the Bible, and maybe you got a gospel tape in or a CD in, and or maybe you're listening to a preacher, or maybe you got just the Bible being read on the radio or whatever. Or maybe you're just listening to one of those conservative talk radio guys. You're getting all upset and mad about stuff, and you're just thinking, you know what? I need to calm down a little bit, and I need some assurance. I need God to talk to me. And so you just turn that off. You begin to pray. You ever done that? You're going down the road. You're praying. And the Lord just burdens you, you know. You need to spend some time with me in reading the Bible. And you determine on the way home, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read my Bible. And you get home, what do you do? You get home and what do you do? Well, you know, supper's ready. I gotta get a call. I want a cup of coffee first. And by the way, I want lots of news. And that makes me mad again. And then, I want to relax a little bit before I read the Bible. As if reading the Bible is not relaxing. And then you just put off and put off and put off until finally it's time to go to bed. And then when you lay in bed and you're thinking about the events of the day and you realize, I didn't read my Bible yet. You know what's happened? You've allowed the devil to come in and steal your time. You've allowed the devil to come in and steal that away. That's what's happened. And I'm not talking about you. There's no obligation. There's no obligation here. I mean, nobody's checking up on you. This is between you and God. And yet you've not done what you determined you needed to do. You've let the devil steal away your time. I don't think anybody here intends that to happen. But sometimes we become willing to let Satan steal from us. We think the wrong thoughts. We don't think about what God wants. We think about what we want. And we've let Satan steal from us those good things. But I need the Bible. The Bible's refreshing. How many times have you read it? How many times have you read the Bible? You know, that's really not important, is it? It's really not, because you could have read it 411 times and not even know what it says. We're not talking about just rote memorization. We're not talking about just reading it with something else on our mind. We're talking about you're reading it with understanding. But I find today that many, many adults are like children with no discernment, spiritual discernment. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be recognizing when God says something and when God says something the other way. Look at some passages here, some things that we need to be aware of. In the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul is here on his last time that he's going to be able to see these precious folks. He doesn't have time on his way back to Jerusalem to stop by Ephesus. So at Miletus, he calls for the elders of Ephesus to come down. He got to talk to them. He wants to visit with them and he wants to talk with them. He knows that when he goes to Jerusalem, that he's going to then going to Rome. He knows that. He's afraid he won't be able to see him again. And so when he gets down to Miletus and he disembarks from the vessel there, that boat, he calls for the elders of the church to come up. And he wants to talk to them. And in Acts chapter 20, in verse 17, he begins this thought to them. He preaches to them for a while. And he talks about his ministry with them. And how he loves them and how much he prays for them. But then he says in verse 28 of this place. Now remember, this is Paul's last words. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's talking to the elders. He's talking to the leaders of the church, the churches of Ephesus. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. This is his last words. He said, preachers, preach the word. Preach the word which he has purchased with his own blood. And then he says in verse 29, and these are tragic words. And here is Paul, a man of experience. A man who's been down the road as he looks eyeball to eyeball with these leaders of the church, the churches at Ephesus. And he says this, for I know this. So I'm not guessing about this. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock also of your own selves, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn you every night and day with tears. Now look. Talking in the church. Here's what he's saying. You need to be careful that you follow God and not men. You remember that Josiah, he followed King David because that's all he had. But God delivered him the Bible to follow. But we need to follow the Bible. We need to follow what God said and not a man. Look what he says here. What tragic things this is. And how true it is that in the church of the living God, that men, evil men, shall rise up desiring people to follow them. May it never be said about us that we want people to follow us. That's not what we should want. We should want everybody to serve God. We need to follow God. We need to have our eyes only on Jesus Christ and none other. This is what he's saying. When I read verse 29 and 30, I wonder how Paul spoke those words. With what kind of emotion in his voice? Do you think that he spoke those words full of hatred and vengeance? I don't think so. And I'm going down here to verse 31 to understand how Paul spoke those words. I think he spoke them with tears and sadness that some of the folks in the church there would rise up in the congregation to cause people to follow them. What a tragedy that would be. But this, what am I saying here? What am I saying? I'm saying this. Follow the Lord. There's going to come a falling away first. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you that people out here in this world, they will draw you away. I don't have to tell you that. I mean, it's obvious. Do I have to tell you that we allow Satan to steal away our blessings by our being so lax in reading the Bible? Do I have to tell you that? No, I got some no's there. I mean, no. What's this all about? It's about this one thing. Follow what God said. Follow Jesus. Follow His Word. I mean, I preached this for 20 years right here in this place. It's kind of weird. I preached this when I first saw this valuable nugget of how I could not fall away, and that all I had to do was one thing, follow Jesus. I began to preach that. I preached that in every church I pastored. I discovered this valuable truth at Willow Hill when I pastored over there. And I preached it down at Louisiana, when I pastored down in the state of Louisiana. And had a lady tell me when I left there, she said, "I've not understood a thing you said." And it showed. Because it's simple. You follow what God said. You read your Bible. And God will lead us. He'll do that. But that's how I can not fall away. I don't want to fall away. You don't either, do you? You know what? You know, when the rewards are passed out, and there will be a day when rewards are going to be passed out, would you want to be one of those that gets a great big pile? I don't know how to say it. Would you want to be one that gets a lot of rewards, or do you want to be one that gets just one? Or maybe none? And I'm not talking about it in a selfish way. But do you want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That's what I'm saying. And not that you're looking to get the rewards. That's not it. Understand that. But what we want, and I'm talking about the way things really are, at least it's the way I think it, and if I'm thinking wrong, then I'm thinking wrong. But I think most of us want everything we can get down here and everything we can get over there as well. And it don't work that way. The Apostle Paul gave up that he might gain. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. And I will have to tell you this, that you will never, ever, ever in a gillion years give up more than God will be able to give you back. There's promises galore about that. He said, you lose your life, you gain it. You gain your life, you lose it. He said, you give up father and mother and houses and lands, I'll give you 100 times more than that down on this earth. So that's true. We need to do what God wants us to do. The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice this place. James 4 and verse 4. Sometimes we believe, well, sometimes I believe that a little worldliness will be okay. But that's not what Jesus said. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, that is a separation between or with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow, I mean, that's what he's telling us here. There's a straight and narrow. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. See what he's saying? What is it that God expects? He expects perfection. He says there in verse 4, and I tell you, what struck me in this verse 4 was that first little phrase. The adulterers and adulteresses. And then look what he says after that. Don't you understand that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You can't have it both ways. That's what he's saying. I don't want to fall away. And in order not to fall away, I'm going to have to be what God wants me to be. There's just that one narrow way. And that's the way that I want to be on. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And he's not saying here that we're not going to be a part of the world, because we're in the world. But we should not let the world be a part of us. That's what he's stating. And we need to be on the watch for that at all times. Because we're just as apt to fall away. Not in lose your salvation, but we're apt to lose rewards because we've not done what God told us to do. We've let the devil steal our rewards away from us a day at a time, and we're just slack to stay true to God. That's what we're talking about. That's what we mean here in this thing. Look at this one. The Bible's full of these because there's warnings. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's so many warnings about how that we should not let the things of this world draw us away. You know, and I my time's about done, but I want you to. I don't want to lead you down the wrong way here. I want you to think right. You know, God does not mind you having the new car. You're going to understand right off. God does not mind you having a new house. If you've got the money to buy a house, well then, boy, I am for you 100%, and I'm tickled for you. I'm glad for that. God doesn't mind people being wealthy. God doesn't mind people having things in this world. He doesn't mind that. God gave Abraham riches. God gave to Solomon riches. God gave to David riches. God gave to a lot of people wealth. God does not mind that. God don't want you using that to get away from Him. I mean, He doesn't want that. So in this thing of being dedicated to the Lord, we just remember that we can dedicate everything that we have to the Lord. Even the new car. And thank God for it. And realize that it's a gift that God has given to you. And God has allowed you to have the job that you can buy the new car. That's good. Thank you, Lord, for my house. Boy, this is a warm house. I'm glad for this nice warm house. You know what? One thing I'm grateful for in my house is that little knob on the wall there. You turn it to get it hot in the wintertime, or you turn it the other way to make it cold in the summer. I thank God for that. And I thank God that I have the money to pay the bill when it comes in. When that bill comes in, there it is. Boy, and it's just, they send that bill just like clockwork. I mean, it's right there. They'd never miss a beat. I look at that bill and say, well, thank you, Lord. You provided the funds to pay for this. And we can do that and live in this world and enjoy the things God has given to us. And not let those things take us away from God. We can do that. I was going to read 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. He says here, and here Paul is writing to a church. It's who he's writing to. It's to a church. Okay, he's not writing to lost people. But he's writing to a church. He said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, they're not going. But he says this in the next verse, and such were some of you. Could that be said about us? Now, I want you to get the point here. And I believe these people in Corinth, that they were actually committing those wicked deeds when the Lord saved them and brought them out of that. Could it be said about us that we were the same way, and then the Lord said, so, well, I didn't do any of that stuff. Oh yeah, and your mind is perfect too. We can identify here. And such were some of you, but now you're washed. And see, there's where we are. It is what Christ has done for us, and that is what separates us from all the other wickedness. If you're relying upon the purity in your body, then you might as well be baptized to be saved. Because it ain't gonna work. It is what Christ has done for us that has granted us salvation. But such were some of you, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How is it that we can keep from falling away? In a nutshell, it is this. And I've not covered everything that's here that I have written down. But how is it that I can keep from falling away? How is it that you can keep from falling away? And it boils down, it all boils down to one thing, and that is that we need to keep reading our Bibles the way God has burdened us to read it. We need to read it, reread it, study it, and learn it, because that's the only way. Let God speak to us through His Word, and He will. When you read your Bible, He will speak to you. But if you don't obey what He's spoken to you, you're going to fall away. You got to obey it. You got to obey it. Think of this. The person that is lost can know how to be saved without being saved. Is that true? That's true. You know what? That was the way I was. The person that's lost can know how to be saved without being saved. All right? The person that is saved can know how to serve God without serving God. Same principle, same truth. So we've got to make application. The person that is lost, in order to be saved, what do they have to do? Repent and believe in Christ. And that's it. And the Lord takes care of the rest of it. I'm pointing this that lost people must come to Jesus. They must. There's an action on their part that they've got to do. And I know the Lord's one that does the saving, but they've got to come. I know that. Now, people that are saved, we've got to be obedient to the Lord. There's something that He wants us to do. God is one that works that work in us. But there's a work that we must do. Read our Bibles. Pray. God will bless. He'll do that. Okay? We'll quit and stop for that. If you're today and you're lost and you need to make a public move, then you need to make that today. We're going to sing a song, Brother John, if you would, as you come. And you can make this move during this song. That'll be fine. We sing this song as kind of a close to the service. But if you need to make a public move, then you make it today. But if you need to talk to someone privately, you'd rather talk to someone privately, that's fine. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you, do what I can do. But of course, eventually, you'll make a public proclamation of your salvation or whatever the desire is that God puts upon you to do. You'll do that publicly. But if you're lost today, I pray that you might see that salvation is free. Jesus has paid it all. He grants salvation today. If you're lost, repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. And then come and tell us about it. You can be saved right where you are. You don't have to. I'm going to be standing right down here. But you don't have to come up here in order to be saved. You don't have to do that. You can be saved right there where you are. You can be saved right there where you are. Because you got to meet with Jesus. I can't save you. No magic in this hand shaking. If I shake your hand, no magic. If I hug you, no magic in that. But Jesus is the one that's got to save your soul. And you know where He is? Well, He's everywhere. He's everywhere there is. And so you can just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins and save my soul. Trust Jesus. He'll save you. That's His truth. That's what He'll do. And I pray for you. And others will pray for you that God will make it real to you today. I pray God will bless. Let's stand if you would as we sing.